We were driving home to Pennsylvania. It was a long drive, and I had not made a hotel reservation. As we drove through South Carolina, we decided it was time to find a place to spend the night. But there was a problem. It was the weekend of the Darlington 500. And we found out that there were no rooms to be had for 200 miles on either side of Darlington. I could have really used some good news right about that. You know, we've all experienced seasons where we felt like everything that we hear seems like bad news. And so it can be easy for us to forget that good news still exists. I've gone through them. Haven't you? Things don't seem to be going well. We're searching for answers to the bad times in life. Maybe they were job-related, layoffs or closures, a bad work environment. Maybe there were family issues, illness or disagreements, but the loss of a family member. And some of those events were caused by others or by circumstances that were beyond our control. And sadly, others are honestly of our own making. For you see, we're free to do what we choose to do, but the consequences of our decisions come with those decisions. Some of them are positive, we call them rewards, and others are negative, we call them punishments or penalties. Our reading from Numbers told of the Israelites complaining about a long journey. You see, they had to go around Edom because they weren't allowed to go through it. God had provided for them during their journey. But the people were in danger of death because of their sin. And even in their sin, God provided an agent for salvation. In Numbers, we see a bronze serpent, a snake, being lifted up on a pole as a means to heal those who spoke out against God and were bitten by venomous snakes. For you see, even in their sin, God loved the Israelites. And in Numbers, God was teaching the people about the power of faith. Now, it's not logical to think that looking at a bronze snake on a pole could heal someone from a snake bite. But that's what God told them to do. The good news was that God loved them as they were, even in their sinful ways. It's a thought to keep in the back of your mind. And then in the reading from John, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee. He comes by night to meet with Jesus because he's hungry to learn more. But he was also fearful of being seen. He comes searching for answers to his deep questions. And during this encounter, Jesus reveals the true good news of his coming by referring to the story from Numbers. You see, Jesus used that story because Nicodemus, a Pharisee, would be familiar with it. Jesus had just told him that only those who were born from above would see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is encouraging Nicodemus to have faith, to believe that he is the Messiah. Even though Nicodemus has been struggling to understand what it was that Jesus was saying. And then Jesus explains that he himself must be lifted up on a pole so that all could be saved from sin and given eternal life. The real good news is what Jesus has done for us through his work on the cross and his resurrection. Now, John 3:16 is perhaps one of the most famous and most memorized of Bible verses. It reminds us that God loves the world. Now, the word world in Greek is cosmos. All of creation is loved by God, even including the world that's opposed to God. What great news! God sends his only Son to save all creation. And after Jesus shares this profound thought with Nicodemus, he tells him immediately in verse 17, which most people don't read or skip over in their minds, even if they do read it. Jesus tells Nicodemus that God didn't send him into the world to condemn it, but to save it. It's possible that when Nicodemus heard that, what Jesus was saying, he may have even felt confused or even condemned for not understanding. For sometimes the good news may not feel good immediately, but Jesus, just like Jesus assured Nicodemus, we need to assure ourselves and others that this gospel is the good news that we need. I'm reading a book right now entitled Spring Rain, A Life Lived in Gardens. It's written by a man named Mark Hammer, who is a retired English gardener. And in it, he muses about his life. Each chapter in the book, and it's not a thick book at all. Each chapter in the book, which is 8 or 10 or 12 pages, stands on its own. And in each chapter, he describes some events in his life. At one point, he talks about gardens being a continuous conversation. Here's a sentence that struck me. He says, "Living things are wobbly, and one thing in the garden changes everything around it." Life's like that, isn't it? We wobble through life, being changed by people or being changed by events. And just about the moment that we think we have everything figured out, someone or something changes our figuring, changes our plans. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had come to change his plans. and to change the world. Jesus came to deliver good news. Jesus was and is the good news. He's changed everything. The past is gone. All our past sins are forgiven. The slate's wiped clean. We're all new creations. Now, that doesn't mean we're coated with Teflon, that we are, in fact, no sick pants. Just because we're believers, just because we believe the good news with all of our hearts, does not mean that life will go smoothly. Even for us, life is wobbly. But the good news is that we have, through Jesus, experienced God's love. What would happen if we took from our pews this morning, and any Sunday morning, took what we heard and shared it with those in our community? For you see, I think good news worth having is good news worth sharing. So I'd like you to, in a quiet moment, and I pray that you all have some quiet moments during the course of a whole week, that you take a few moments and write down some instances in your life where you saw the power of Christ at work in your life. Perhaps in times of loss or sickness or financial difficulty or relationships or any of the other storms of this life. And then if you meet someone who seems to be struggling, someone who's searching for spiritual help and hope, and tell them your story. That doesn't mean going down State Street or Main Street and grabbing a hold of the first person that you meet, someone you never met before, and tell them your story. That does not mean that. Talk with someone who you have at least enough of a relationship to recognize that they're struggling. Who knows? Maybe those testimonies can be the thing that inspires someone to begin a relationship with Jesus. Remember, the world can use good news. Life is wobbly for all of us. One thing can change the garden of someone's life. Jesus is that one thing. Amen.